Once again, good morning, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank you for dialing in. I get the distinct pleasure of introducing my brother Jeff this morning. It just seems sometimes, back when I was in college, I was teaching Bible school, and Jeff was in one of my Bible school classes one year, and it seems, you know, so long ago sometimes, and sometimes it seems like it wasn't so long ago, but to have seen him grow up into a man of conscience, a man of valor, a man who, like his parents, has dedicated his life to serving God. Please give him your attention, because I know that he's studied and that the Lord's given him words to bring to us this morning. All right, Jeff.
Thank you, Benny. Appreciate that, and definitely appreciate your comments and the prayers. I would appreciate the prayers of everyone this morning. The thoughts I have on my mind kind of been around for me, and in my job right now, I'm spending a lot of time wrapping up the year. For my job, the year ends at the end of October, and we start a new year at the beginning of November. And so a lot of my time right now is really in that wrapping things up, ending budgets, ending processes, ending projects, and really starting to lay out the groundwork and the direction that we're going to head in the new year. And so kind of my thoughts around that and similar to that in our spiritual lives, I think it is a good time. And as the thoughts on my mind have been, it's kind of that review of what's happened in the last year. Where are we, where have we been, where are we heading, some of that planning and preparation of, as we move into a new year, what do we want to accomplish, where do we want to go? You know, I think about it in our lives so many times, you know, we see things that happen, we see things going on around us, like our brother Benny talked about, it doesn't seem like that long ago that I was a young little person sitting in Benny's Sunday school or Bible school class, but really in the scheme of things, I turned 40 this year, so I'm feeling older, I guess. I don't really feel older, I guess, but it's that that progression in life that we look back and how quickly things have changed. You know, it was just a few weeks ago, September 11th, 2010, you know, and it was 9 years before that we saw our world change around us. Many things in our lives, and I see that so many times, that many things in our lives that we see things happen and how quickly that time goes by. But really, what we cannot postpone and what we cannot put off and what we cannot look past is that spiritual life and that expectation the Lord has for us. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to go in the Book of Mormon in the 600, in page 642. And again, I'm in the third book of Nephi, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 25th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So already we're starting off, and you can very quickly and very easily see the mental picture of enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So here is this gate and this expectation that we are to enter in, and this broad gate, this wide path, leads to our destruction. So already it's starting to set up in our mind because where we're going. 26th verse, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So again, right away we start to understand, and we can see, and so we can paint that picture in our minds that the way, right, the expectation that the Lord has for us, the direction that we are to go, is a narrow way, is a narrow path that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or of thorns or of figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree can bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Continuing on there, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, really, this scripture, and I'm sure nothing here is new to us. We can probably go a lot of different directions and discussion and examples that we could bring and really understand, you know, the verse that started at the 25th verse and into the 26th verse, you know, it paints that picture for us, like I said before, of that gate that we are to enter in, right? That challenge that we have ahead of us, that the path is not going to be easy, right? And then it goes in and it starts to explain and give the comparison of a tree that bringeth forth good fruit, right? And a tree that bringeth forth bad fruit. You know, a tree that bringeth forth good fruit, you know, in the expectation, and that which we read here is, a tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But it really goes down to, and that it ends in where it talks about the house being built upon a rock versus being built upon the sand, is in my mind, as I read that and as I think about this, it's really that foundation that we are building, and I know I've used that as it before, but it's something that I've thought a lot about, and I look at regularly in my life. I look at that, and I use that in my professional life, is that what is the foundation that we are building, right? What is that expectation that the Lord has for us, and then what are we doing about it? And I see that so many times, that we're called to bring forth that good fruit. I had an experience yesterday, and the example, when we read this, we read about, you know, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know, and that example really rang true to me, and this is where I really had the thought on this scripture here yesterday. Was yesterday I had to go to a deal and working on a project at work, and long story short, I was working on a project where I had some interaction with the U.S. Secret Service. And throughout the week last week, as we were getting ready for this event yesterday, I had this interaction with the Secret Service agent, regular conversations, going back and forth and planning for what we had yesterday. And so I show up at the event yesterday. And there were multiple stages of this event, and I kind of came in halfway through to do my job or to do my duty that I had there that I was asked to do. And as I came walking up to one of our factories, here was a row of police officers, a row of Secret Service agents. And I walked up, and you would have thought that I was somebody there to cause trouble, because very quickly a huge group of people kind of came and circled around me, and right away, I got a little nervous, you know, my heart started to race a little bit, and, all right, you know, this isn't normal. You know, I'm walking up to one of my facilities that I go to, and I'm being circled. So, a gentleman comes up to me, asks my name, and I gave him my name. And the guy, the Secret Service agent, he's got this little microphone in his hand, and he says something into it real quietly, and all of a sudden I hear a little bit of mumbling that's coming in, and somebody speaking to him from somewhere else that's coming into his earpiece, into his ear. And then all of a sudden, you know, there I was able to go in. Somebody else came walking up behind me. Same thing. People circled around him real quickly. Somebody spoke to him, and they told him that he was going to have to wait a little bit. And so the example for me is, and really where that stood out to me was, you know, is we may know the Lord, right? The Lord knows each and every one of us. But just because we know him, right, if it's not the good fruit that we're bringing forth, we're not going to get through, right? The expectation for us is that we are building that strong foundation. We are living that example for the Lord. I'm going to turn to Romans, and I want to go to Romans, the second chapter. And in Romans, the second chapter, I'm going to start at the first verse. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, that word repentance, and really this, as we read in here, and as we start to go in, is that clearly, you know, the judgment of God will come upon us, right? The expectation is that we're doing those things. But, you know, it's not that we can be on the broad path, we can be on the easy path, and think that we're going to get that opportunity, right? That person that is, as we enter into that gate, that expectation is that we're living that life. And the only way that we can get there today, right? We can change the path. We can, if we're on that wrong path, we can go to a different path. We can go to that narrow path. We can go to that enter in and that narrow gate. But it takes a step, right? It takes an important, a critical step, that is that repentance. Turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter, I'm going to start at the third verse. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, that calling, you know, that you know, we can just imagine, and you can see that picture in your mind, that one sheep that is gone, and that rejoicing that our Lord takes when that one is that falls unto their knees and falls unto repentance and comes back unto him, right? Again, and it's pretty simple to follow the things that are, hopefully it's simple to follow the things that I'm saying to you. As I start off, we start off and we think about how this builds. Right, we start off with a gate, and that example in your mind, that narrow is the gate that we have. But sometimes we do stumble, right? Sometimes we have done things that are not correct, that are not the calling of the Lord, right? And we have an opportunity to fix that, right? That opportunity is, it's that, and that great joy that the Lord takes when we fall unto him and when we call unto him in repentance. Turn with me to Alma, the 16th chapter, and I'm in the 138th verse. I'm sorry, page 421, and I'm going to start at the 132nd verse. So Alma, the 16th chapter, page 421 of the Book of Mormon.
Do not procrastinate the day of your repentance.
So starting on page 421, and again, Alma, the 16th chapter, and I'm starting at the 132nd verse. I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may humble, and that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that ye should learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out, that ye are despised of your brother, because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to the lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. And now because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. Right? What is that humble? Right? What exactly does that mean? You know, I kind of chuckle when I think about humility, right? And what are the examples of humility that we have in our lives today? Right? What are those examples of what is humility exactly? You know, if you were to sit there, I'm asking each of you to think in your mind, what does humility really mean? What is an example of humility? Where have you seen someone that is a humble person? You know, I look at the sports figures that we see today, you know. Probably not a lot of humility that we really see in some of the more visible people around our world and around our lives. But I think we all know humble people. I think we all know people that are truly the silent minority sometimes. But really that calling and that humility that the Lord is asking us to do. But further on, and what this is really saying here, and this is the 134th verse, and now because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye, for a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. Right? But in our lives, you know, it's a cause of, and in this example, you know, something has happened to cause us to be humble. Well, brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait to be humbled. Right? We have to be a humble person. We have to be a humble people. But not waiting for something to happen in our lives to seek repentance. But clearly we should be seeking repentance in our lives. Continuing on, the 135th verse. And now surely whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now as I said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, ye are blessed. You were blessed. Do ye not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Right? So it's maybe a little confusing. In my simple mind, you know, it's a lot of words there that we see, but really stands out is that, you know, truly, you know, therefore blessed are they who humble themselves, right, without being compelled to be humbled. Humbling ourselves without that action that caused us to become humble. Truly a humble person, and I'd encourage you to think about in your lives. Think about in our daily lives, and this would be the challenge that I would throw out to everyone. As you go in your lives this next week, as you go around, whether it's to school, whether it's to our jobs, whatever it is that we do during the week, look for those examples of humility, right? Maybe we see it on the news, right? Maybe we see it in examples in the newspaper. You know, maybe we see it in those that are around us. But truly, what is that? What does humility mean, right? What does that mean? And how do we exemplify that in our own lives? Turn with me to Alma, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to turn over to page 430. And I'm going to go to the 16th chapter, the 226th verse. And in my Book of Mormon, that's page 430. And I'm going to start reading here at 226 in just a couple quick verses. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation, and therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Right? So again, that expectation. You know, clearly that that example that we read in that in 3rd Nephi, the 6th chapter, you know, the giving of the fruit of the trees. You know, I work in agricultural field, and so I'm around a lot of corn and soybeans, you know, and I see this, you know, a farmer goes in and he prepares the field, starts off and he starts to stir the soil at the beginning of the year, stir the dirt and prepare a seed bed that he can come in and plant his seed. So here in Iowa, we got a lot of corn and soybeans. So here's this farmer goes in and he, with his planter, he puts in his corn, right? He puts that corn in and his hope and his expectation is that when I get to that September, October time frame, that when I'm going out and harvesting that crop, when I'm going out and taking the corn out of that field, you know, my hope is that I'm reaping what I sowed and that I sowed something that was very strong and very good. But a lot of things have to happen in between, right? There's rain. This year, you know, around us here, we had a lot of rain. It was cool weather. Right? So many things and so many conditions can impact that around us. But not letting those things pull us down and not letting those things distract us. But that truly, when that is the time for the harvest, when it is the time that our life, that we come up to that end, that we have used this time wisely, that we are prepared. I'm going to go back into Luke, and I'm going to go back to the 15th chapter of Luke. And same page where we were before, Luke, the 15th chapter, but I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. Either that woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Again, just that continuation, but another example. You know, I remember many testimonies, and again, I know I've said this before, but I remember testimonies growing up, and it's those testimonies that really stood out to me in my life. And those testimonies, even sometimes some very small testimonies, but I think we can all relate to our brother Bill Sheldon, and we can relate to our sister Dor Sheldon. And thinking back on some of the examples and some of the testimonies that they gave, truly, our sister Doris, you know, and would talk about, I remember some of the silliest things in my life as a young man growing up and hearing the testimonies of our sister Doris that she would pray for, right? And as a young kid, it seemed kind of funny, it seemed kind of odd, but those lessons and those memories that I have are truly of that example of here was a truly humble person. That truly she was praying out to the Lord for all the things in her life, right? That is the example, and that is the memory that I'll always have of our sister Dor Sheldon, is that truly a humble person, truly a person that believed, that knew that God was there, that Jesus was there, that protected her through her life, that gave her everything that she has, and that made her everything that she was, you know, and truly that example for us, and that humbled approach in our lives, that even for those little things, that clearly we rejoice, for the Lord is calling on us for that. He expects us for that. I'm going to go back to Alma, and I'm going to go to the 3rd chapter. And I'm on page 316 in the Book of Mormon. Alma, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 46th verse. And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have you walked, keeping yourself blameless before God? Could ye say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white, through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. And such a one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand. and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such a one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brethren, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all you workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Right, that calling out to us and that expectation for us is that we are doing that, that we are doing those things, that we are repenting in our lives, that we are asking the Lord. Continuing on at the 57th verse, behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread of the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth good fruit, or bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doth not works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. And really, you know, for I guess you could look at it, and this could be the entire message for us. This could be the words that we have today, is that clearly it's that invitation, right? That word, 57th verse, says, behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, you and me, right? Each of us, that calling and that invitation is out there to us. And he says, for the arms of mercy are extended towards us, right? And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Pretty simple. Right? Pretty simple to say, but clearly it takes an action. It takes a step on our part. Turn with me to Revelations, the third chapter.
Revelation, third chapter.
And in Revelation, the third chapter, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And what I want to read is, I want to read specifically verses 19, starting at 19. So Revelation's third chapter, I'm going to start at the 19th verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Right? So clearly, the Lord again, and just that example, is that we have that opportunity. But that repentance is necessary for our salvation. Right? We cannot get in without that. Right, but repentance alone does not save us, and we understand that. It takes a change. It takes that change of mind about sin. It takes a change in action in the way that we're living our lives. Right? You know, maybe we built that foundation, and that foundation started off very strong. Or maybe we started down that path, and we got lost. But we can get back. And that is my message of hope and my message of excitement that we have, and clearly that lesson that we have in our lives is that opportunity to come back. My expectation, or I guess my goal for each of us this week, is that we take the time and that we look for those examples of humility. We take that time and set aside in our lives that opportunity of repentance, of humbling ourselves and preparing our hearts and preparing our minds. I'm going to close with Moroni, and I'm going to go to Moroni, the seventh chapter, and I'm going to start on page 767. Within the Book of Mormon. All the way back in almost the very back of the Book of Mormon, Moroni, the seventh chapter, and I'm going to start at the 37th verse. I'm going to read several verses here, actually through the end of the chapter. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day, that they are true, and if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto the men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of their unbelief, and all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Right? So that faith, right, that example of faith that we have to have is you know, those things in our life. The Lord is wanting to listen to us, right? Right? That like that example, you know, I see that Secret Service agent as I'm talking to him, you know, that earpiece is that communication link from our Heavenly Father to us, but also he's got that microphone in his hand, and he can speak into it at any time, right? In our lives, we can speak to the Lord at any time. I remember, you know, as a kid, my dad would almost drive me crazy with saying, you know, before we would do anything, we had to say a prayer, right? Before I could go out and cut the grass, you know, he would always say to me, did you say a prayer? You know, did you ask the Lord to protect you? You know, before you'd go in for a test, you know, did you say a prayer? Right? That lesson to me and that lesson to us is yes, the Lord expects us to go into our closets. Yes, the Lord expects us to kneel down and to pray into him. But that communication link is open all the time. We can speak to him, and we can pray out to him, and we can cry out to him at any time. But it takes us taking that step and taking that action. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought. It is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. I'm at the 42nd verse. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain. For no man can be saved, according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then faith has ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Right, so again, that foundation example that I talked about before, building that rock-solid foundation, right? Not on the sand, not where the storms can wash it away, but that foundation that is built upon faith, right? That foundation that is built upon hope, that foundation that is built upon repentance and humility, right? A lot of pieces go into that. A lot of pieces is what makes the whole there for us and makes it stronger. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing, wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true believers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, that is my hope for each of us, is that, that truly we have that, we carry that hope, we carry that humility, we carry that love of Christ in our lives, that maybe we become those examples of a humble person. That maybe when we recognize that, when we see that, that we understand that we do have a responsibility. Right? It's more than just entering through that narrow gate. There is a path. There's a narrow path that we have to walk down and we have to follow. In our lives, we have to walk. We have to continue down that path. And if we stumble, if we fall, we have that opportunity. But it's that foundation and that core within us that has to be strong. And my hope for each of you and my prayer for each of you is that we have that humble heart, that we have that pure love of Christ that we carry within our lives. Thank you.